Pardon, speaker? For a while, listening to the member for Labrie, I got the opinion, Madam Speaker, that the member for Labrie was talking about something totally different than what our Prime Minister presented. I think he was talking about a budget that my Prime Minister presented to the Honorable House. A budget. There's a bad difference, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, a lot of the comments made by the Honorable Member will be dealt with as this presentation goes through. Madam Speaker, in this borderless world of globalization and trade liberalization, navigating the turbulent waters of survival requires visionary captaincy. Madam Speaker, we have this right here in this Honorable House. Since Sir John George Melvin Conkle. Madam Speaker, our Abraham of a leader, the great Sir John, in whom I am well pleased and honored to serve with, is blessed and highly favored to captain the ship of our beautiful Fair Helen. To this end, the opposition, Madam Speaker, admitted to the entire nation that the results of December 11, 2006 are undisputed. Madam Speaker, last Thursday evening, we all witnessed what could only be described as a scintillating performance by our distinguished PM. When he delivered the budget presentation. It was indeed a performance, Madam Speaker, for like the Energizer Bunny, he kept going and going and going to the climax of a visionary budget that is geared towards bridging the divide and reuniting St. Lucia, forging one destiny by creating opportunities for all. Not just a selected few, Madam Speaker. In this August Assembly, my presence here today is really from a perspective of descending climax. Madam Speaker, like Moses, from the mountain height I descended, from the upper house in historic precedence, by the blessings and grace of the Almighty God, He is my guide. To the front of this House of Assembly that the wonderful people of January South have prepared for me. Madam Speaker, it is through that process, the process of the finger of democracy on December 11, 2006. May the good Lord forever bless the wonderful people of January South, Madam Speaker. Listening, Madam Speaker, to the vaccinations of the 666 of them, Madam Speaker. Most of them are not present right now. And they talk about us having a slim majority in this house. If other persons, Madam Speaker, they marvel and envy that slim majority given to us by God, through His people, with the Abraham of leadership in Sir John George Melvin Compton, Madam Speaker. It is very clear, Madam Speaker, that when you look at this side of the house, Madam Speaker, you can tell that the Lord works in mysterious ways. I am, Madam Speaker, and will remain a humble man, a servant of the people. For it is from the tire of January that your humble servant emerged. Madam Speaker, to the people of January South, I remain estate, the humble servant. I am always readily available in the constituency and can be reached electronically. The email address is simple, Madam Speaker. Estate for all. lastpostam@gmail.com. Madam Speaker, reference must be made of the great victory on December 11, 2006. A record that has pulverized the opposition and left them, particularly one of them, Madam Speaker, breathing. Madam Speaker, this is an extraordinary budget. A budget which demonstrates the character and genius of our esteemed leader, Sir John Compton. He has the wisdom to know what to do, and he has the wisdom to know what to do next. He has the skill of knowing how to do it, Madam Speaker, and the virtue to do it. Sir John gets the work done. Madam Speaker, the previous government boasted about a $1 billion budget and spoke of it in glowing terms. Our Honourable Prime Minister and Minister for Finance has presented a piece of budget, which is well cut out with total overall spending of $1,249,250,800, Madam Speaker. While the overall spending is over that of the last budget, it is important to understand the assumptions underpinning the numbers. Let us go into that, Madam Speaker. This budget is based on a development planning approach. We are not like them on the other side, who spend 9 years planning to plan. Up to now, they have not learned how to plan. I urge the members on the other side, take a cue and learn from our great leader. Learn to learn, and only then you will know how a country is run. Madam Speaker, this budget is focused on ensuring that the development agenda of this government is achieved. The Prime Minister clearly outlined 4 major imperatives which underpin the development process. Madam Speaker, I commend the Prime Minister for achieving a reduction in recurrent expenditure, while at the same time committing to providing adequate resources for the maintenance of government assets, roads and buildings. Madam Speaker, we all heard the Prime Minister speak to the creation of new economic spaces. Yes, Madam Speaker, opening communities. Communities like Labri, Madam Speaker. Creating up employment opportunities, Madam Speaker, for everybody in this country, especially the young. Madam Speaker, the public sector investment program of capital expenditure of $552,750,800 is not a wish list that God wants solutions to believe. It is real, Madam Speaker. It reflects the strategic priorities of this government, and when implemented, will engender growth in a lot of areas, Madam Speaker. Growth, Madam Speaker, in agriculture, in tourism, Madam Speaker, and in construction. Madam Speaker, if I was sitting by the Prime Minister when he presented the estimate, I would have been shaking his hand all along the presentation, Madam Speaker. I would be constantly shaking his hand, Madam Speaker, for preparing a budget which I truly believe will bridge the divide and will ensure that we bring every community above the poverty line, where labor took it and brought it way down. We will take care of our people, Madam Speaker. The vision of the captain will ensure that St. Lucia has a very soft landing post-World Cup era, Madam Speaker. And so, this is why, Madam Speaker, we on this side are not here to build churches to kill cockroaches or to deny people of sleep or rest. That's not what we are here for. We are here, Madam Speaker, to help our people. We have been elected to rescue and restore St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, to a place of peace, tranquility, unlike, Madam Speaker, what the member for Labrie, wants to happen in this country, Madam Speaker. This is why the member for Labrie will do well, Madam Speaker, to remember that language is the apparel in which your foot parade before the public, and that he should never clothe them with vulgar and shoddy attire. Madam Speaker, my contribution here today will be twofold. I intend to discuss how my ministry intends to implement the programs funded by the Prime Minister. Following this, I will address matters pertaining to my constituency. Madam Speaker, with this humility, your humble servant reveals the heavenly light from the Denishaw constituency. He is confident that the Lord will help him and his people in every step of the way. The Prime Minister, Sir John, has done brilliantly, Madam Speaker. I now move to the business of the ministry, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, as we listen to the member for Labrie, Madam Speaker, talking about trade and the program that our Prime Minister spoke about, we want to let him know on this side of the House that when we are in government and we get something new, we find something good, we don't just discard it. We use it if it is good, if it makes sense, to the benefit of our people. We, Madam Speaker, we are not just going to discard it like they did to so many of our programs when they came in 1997. So there is a difference, Madam Speaker, and the difference is vast. Madam Speaker, they got rid of all the industries that provided employment for people in this country. They destroyed the banana industry, Madam Speaker. They stopped the marketing of St. Lucia in the international market, Madam Speaker, by taking away the $3 million provided to American Airlines at the time. They took away the transportation subsidy for the children and left our children by the roadside. All night long, they are not being able to get transportation to get home on time. Being raped from the wayside, Madam Speaker. These are the things they did. Madam Speaker, talk about
Honourable Member, the rule is that members shall maintain silence and shall not interrupt whilst another member is speaking. I thought it would be important to remind members, particularly those on the opposition side of that rule. Continue, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, as is characteristic of his purposeful and astute leadership, Madam Speaker, one of the first things upon assuming office that our Prime Minister did was to assume a change name for our ministry, Madam Speaker. Our government realigned the ministry that I'm in right now, Madam Speaker. In an effort to bring logic and synergy to the process of governance, Madam Speaker, the portfolio of international trade was hitherto appended to external affairs was returned where it is most logically belong. That is the ministry responsible for industry and commerce. That move was quite understood, but one key principle guided this decision, Madam Speaker. Government don't trade. It is firms that actually engage in the process of trade. Hence, the development of trade policy cannot be done in isolation of the private sector, Madam Speaker. The decision, Madam Speaker, to establish the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Commerce was also guided by a review of the common practices in the region, which revealed the following, Madam Speaker. Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana, Suriname and St. Lucia are separate, Madam Speaker, ministries for external affairs and for international trade. On the other hand, Madam Speaker, St. Vincent and the Grenadines has one minister for external affairs, trade and commerce, and likewise, Dominica. The other member states of CARICOM have combined the Ministry of International Trade and External Affairs. Madam Speaker, there is no uniform or single structure throughout CARICOM with respect to the configuration of the portfolio of international trade and foreign affairs. Every country uses what fits them best. Madam Speaker, over the last 10 years, St. Lucia has experimented with a structure which has amalgamated external affairs and international trade with very poor results. Over that period, Madam Speaker, there has emerged wide divergence between what St. Lucia has articulated as the official international trade policy and what the manufacturing and services sector has expressed as their preferred position. The period has been characterized, Madam Speaker, by unclear and unfocused international trade positions vis-à-vis the productive capacity of the private sector. The adoption of international trade positions that do not mesh with the medium and long-term development plans for the private sector and the country, Madam Speaker. A lack of trust in the government's ability to safeguard the private sector's interests in international trade negotiations, Madam Speaker. And, Madam Speaker, duplication of efforts as the ministry responsible for industry and that for international trade routinely address the private sector on similar issues. Madam Speaker, I now ask the question, where is the strategic planning and vision? And the answer, Madam Speaker. There has been, Madam Speaker, a total lack of coherence between the ministries under this experiment with officials of one ministry representing the government on specific issues at one meeting and another official from another ministry making a presentation on the same issues at other meetings with apparent no communication between them, Madam Speaker. We need to stop this, Madam Speaker. You see, this is what happens when you have more degrees than a thermometer, Madam Speaker. In an effort to bring synergy, Madam Speaker, between St. Lucia's development strategy for the private sector and the country's international trade policy, the logical decision was therefore to ensure that all matters that pertain directly from private sector development are attended to by the private sector. In this context, Madam Speaker, in this context of an ever-lowering tariff as demanded by the members of the WTO, the private sector must internationally be competitive. The implementation of domestic interventions for private sector growth must therefore be closely linked to international trade policy. This is why it was felt that there must be coherence between international trade policy and the capacity of the domestic private sector, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we believe that the horse must come before the cap, not the other way around. Let us look now, Madam Speaker, at the industrial policy agenda of the Ministry. Madam Speaker, St. Lucia is an extremely open economy dependent on international trade, and in particular, exports for the generation of foreign exchange. Given the rather small population of St. Lucia, companies that produce in a manner to maximize the benefits of economies of scale must invariably produce at volumes that surpass domestic demand. This means that the goods produced must be competitive in both price and quality, not only within St. Lucia, but on the wider export market, Madam Speaker. Realizing also that high tariffs get at protective domestic production will soon be a thing of the past, it is clear that domestic productive sector must be able, Madam Speaker, to withstand and to hold in the international competition. Against this background, Madam Speaker, government developed an export strategy which the member for Labour spoke about. We're not going to just discard it like they did to all the good things that we had in place in this country when they came into office. It is good We are going to attend to it and we're going to make it work for us, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the four priority goods sectors are the agriculture sector, the chemical sector, which includes paints and additives, the beverage sector, and the agro-processing sector. The six energy sectors are the architectural sector, the arts and entertainment, integrated marketing and communication, information technology, training services in nursing and language skills, and the tourism sector, Madam Speaker. Firms within these sectors are either already exporting or have the potential to enter the export market. We'll be assisted to do so, Madam Speaker. Support will also be provided to those sectors by addressing a number of competitive issues that are cross-sectoral in nature, Madam Speaker. The cross-sectors include packaging, quality management, provision of trade information, trade financing, transportation, and skills development of the labor force. Madam Speaker, let me say here that in each and every sector and cross-sector, a vision has been developed. The competitiveness issues to be addressed, identified, and relevant leading women agency also identified. To coordinate all of this, Madam Speaker, the implementation of this national export strategy, there is a need for dedicated implementing agency, Madam Speaker. Both the private sector and we in central government agree that implementation will not be efficiently undertaken by central government. So what are we going to do? A trade and promotion agency, TETA, will have to be established to implement this strategy, Madam Speaker. Given the role of the National Development Corporation, it is expected to play in the development of our economy, Madam Speaker. We are giving serious consideration to the NDC as the entity to perform this critical role. The Office of the Private Sector Relations, the OPSR, is also examining the possibility of funding a consultancy to provide even greater clarity on the optimal organizational structure to implement the strategy, Madam Speaker. But implementation of the export strategy, Madam Speaker, calls for addressing issues on the production end as well. To encourage output from existing firms and make it attractive for new entrepreneurs to enter into the priority sectors, the Ministry will ensure completion of the review of the current regime under which fiscal incentives are offered. Madam Speaker, the new regime of fiscal incentives will not only be compatible with WTO requirements, but will also significantly address the provisions of incentives for the service sector. As you know, services account for more than 80% of GDP and more than 85% of value exports, Madam Speaker. The fiscal incentives regime will also be more target-specific with clear transparency and monitoring mechanisms in place. Madam Speaker, what is SEDU's role in all of this, the Small Enterprise Development Unit, Madam Speaker? A quick review of the structure of the domestic private sector reveals that over 80% of firms can be classified as either small or micro-enterprises. A number of these firms in the system, both at the organizational and financial levels, Madam Speaker. The government of St. Lucia intends to encourage the sustainable development of the small and micro businesses in the country. One of the key elements of achieving this goal is the establishment of an enabling environment, Madam Speaker, which must include a strong regulatory framework. Madam Speaker, as we move on, Madam Speaker, there are acts that have to be put in place, Madam Speaker, to enable this environment. Madam Speaker, it is important that the Act becomes effective because this legal requirement defines micro and small businesses. And it provides for the registration of all declared small and or micro businesses. It will lead to the establishment of a comprehensive database on all businesses in the small and micro business sector, Madam Speaker. It will also provide relief for businesses in the sector that have demonstrated improved efficiency, growth, achieve economies of scale, create employment, and practice good environmental management. As a result of this act being effective, we expect more small and micro businesses in the formal sector. We also expect an accurate data depicting the tapestry of small business sector, which will facilitate objective evidence-based intervention, Madam Speaker. We also expect, Madam Speaker, greater use of ICT in the small business sector. We also expect an improved managerial capacity and better decision-making, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we also expect increased emphasis on productivity. We also expect, Madam Speaker, improved performance measurement and management. Madam Speaker, we also expect improved quality of employment. Last but not least, Madam Speaker, we also expect employment creation. And that is one of the things that this government, Madam Speaker, is concerned about greatly. Madam Speaker, the implementation of this Micro and Small Scale Enterprise Act will be taken on by the Small Enterprise Development Unit in the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Commerce. Madam Speaker, we move on, Madam Speaker, to the investment policy formulation role, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, last year, only last year, we heard that Lucia received an overall ranking by the World Bank that placed her at number one in the Caribbean for the ease with which business can be done. But how has this been used to attract investment and investors, Madam Speaker? It is clear to us that a deliberate and well thought out investment strategy must be developed to take advantage of this status. And this, Madam Speaker, we are going to do on this side of the House. Hence, in this financial year, Madam Speaker, government will ensure that an investment strategy is developed that supports the development plans of the nation, as has been outlined by our Honorable Prime Minister, Sir Judge Melvin Compton, Madam Speaker. The Ministry of Trade, Industry and Commerce is established to facilitate, not frustrate trade, Madam Speaker. One of the areas that will be examined to determine how efficiencies can begin to improve the business environment is the current import license regime. This tension, while vital to protecting the domestic manufacturing sector, has to be reviewed to ensure that it is compliant with the principles of WTO and that the process within the ministry is less bureaucratic. Items required to be under license will be removed to allow for more rapid processing of goods, Madam Speaker. A review will also be made of the existing trade license regime, Madam Speaker. Let us look at consumers as well, Madam Speaker, in all of this. Madam Speaker, one of the more important chapters in the revised Treaty of Chagaramas addresses matters pertaining to competition policy and consumer welfare or protection. Therefore, Madam Speaker, with regard to Chapter 8 of the revised treaty, the government of St. Lucia will take the necessary steps to fulfill its CSME obligations, Madam Speaker. As we move on, Madam Speaker, we move to something that is very, very important, Madam Speaker, and that of electrification. Madam Speaker, I am delighted at this point to report that in this financial year, the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Commerce, in collaboration with the St. Lucia Bureau of Standards, will spearhead efforts towards electrification in St. Lucia. It is for the benefit of fellow honorable members of this House, Madam Speaker. The worldwide electrification drive has its basis in the meter conversion, which dates back to 1875. It gave responsibility to three international bodies to act on matters of world metrology, particularly the demand for measurement standards for ever-increasing accuracy, range, and diversity. The use of the metric system, Madam Speaker, has become an economic necessity. Most countries export and import goods in metric units, Madam Speaker. By adopting the metric system, which is an international standard of measurement, there are many benefits to be derived. The metric system has gone from choosing dual use of tons, such as the imperial system used, from ounces to measure both weight and volume. Madam Speaker, this system also avoids the use of multiple units for the same quantity. For instance, the instant system multiple units for volume include teaspoons, tablespoons, fluid ounces, cups, pints, quarts, and gallons. Not only is the metric system easier to use, since it is a decimal system with all the units in multiples of 10, but it has been shown, especially in the construction industry, that fewer errors are made when the metric system is used in place of the inch-pound system. Madam Speaker, most importantly, Madam Speaker, we need to complete in St. Lucia a process that we started almost 3 decades ago. It must be emphasized that metrification is a universal phenomenon, and St. Lucia, in the interest of trade, has little choice but to change. Further, Madam Speaker, in order to facilitate the CARICOM single market and economy, and to harmonize the system of measurement, it is extremely important for us to adopt the system. If we resist the change, the metric system we are in fact of the metric system, we are in fact imposing a trade barrier on ourselves, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Commerce, working closely with the Bureau of Standards, will ensure that this important exercise is completed. Madam Speaker, let me at this point, Madam Speaker, turn my attention to the people that I solemnly pledge to serve. That is the people of Greenery South constituency, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we know that every single detail pertaining to the community cannot be addressed during this presentation, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, I will endeavor to explain and mention some of the provisions outlined in this year's estimate. Let me assure my constituents that there is much to be gained from this budget, and that shortly thereafter we will meet with all sectors of the community to crystallize and prioritize our plans. Madam Speaker, I have perused the estimate, and as presented by the Honourable Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, let me tell you, the people of Greenery South, that there are exciting programs in this budget for all of us, even for Labrie, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there is for the youth, Madam Speaker, there is for sports, there is for sports facilities, Madam Speaker, and programs. There is, Madam Speaker, the economic and employment creation initiatives, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, nous sommes pour les bas. Nous sommes pour les bas, Madam Speaker. Exactly, Paul Drunsla. Nous sommes pour... The resource is in the northwest quadrant and is well poised to develop. We are also very fortunate to have the Loparadi development, which I intend to follow closely to ensure that the Greenery South prepared for the opportunities that it presents. Madam Speaker, as I proceed to discuss matters of my constituency and reflect on the budget of Sir George Melvin Compton, my esteemed leader and mentor, this budget is true to its theme, particularly the aspects of creating opportunities for all, not just for some, as we learn to live with to 9 years of hard labor, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Sir John has laid a visionary path for all of us, a path that is synchronized with that of myself and the people of Greenery South. In this budget, Madam Speaker, there is hope. Madam Speaker, there is hope that the economic divide spoken by the PM, by our esteemed Prime Minister, will bring about new and exciting possibilities to Greenery South. Madam Speaker, the United Workers Party presented a comprehensive plan during the last election. That plan was called its manifesto, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, our Minister for Finance has tackled his responsibility to the people of St. Lucia and has now presented a comprehensive work plan for 2007-2008, Madam Speaker. The work plan, Madam Speaker, called the budget, Madam Speaker, the estimate of expenditure 2007-2008, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I presented to my people of January South a development plan for the constituency. And since the famous victory, I have drawn out a specific work plan for the year 2007-2008, Madam Speaker. The January Development Plan, Madam Speaker, 2006 and beyond. And, Madam Speaker, the January Development Plan, the work plan, Madam Speaker, for 2007-2008. Madam Speaker, the January Development Plan has been available on the website. At www.generalvibes.com, Madam Speaker. Since before the December 11th general election, we knew down there that we would be putting this plan into effect. Madam Speaker, over the 9 years of hard labor, the motto of the Labour Party's representative for January South, the Honorable General Gibbs at the time, who is now grieving, may I remind you, was TQR, total quality representation, Madam Speaker. We have since discovered, Madam Speaker, the true meaning of TQR. And that is, Madam Speaker, you take all you can, you qualify for your pension, and run! Madam Speaker, I repeat. Take all you can, qualify for your pension, and run to Mapia Valley, where you are dealt with by your colleague over there, back at Peter Lesson, there you are. Hey, Madam Speaker. Dealt with. Well, Madam Speaker, he never remembered my powers as an athlete are still intact. So, Madam Speaker, he could run, but he could not hide. Madam Speaker, it was the Honourable Member of Castries East who, on one of his vaccinations in my constituency, prior to the December 11th general election, had the nerve to say in reference to me, now, the Honourable Edmund Estefan, there will be no banjo man in the house. And that upon Labour winning the 2006 polls, he would instruct the Minister of Culture, who was defeated by our Honourable Guy Joseph, he would instruct her to purchase a new banjo or quattro for me to play outside of the house. Madam Speaker, now, Madam Speaker, I am tempted to ask for leave to play in the house, Madam Speaker. On a more serious note, Madam Speaker, we are not here to play, but to work hard for the people of this country, and indeed my constituency. This is why, Madam Speaker, the players are on this other side. And the United Workers sit on this side. Madam Speaker, the Northeast Urban Economic Development Program will significantly improve general chances for further development and increase employment opportunities, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there are problems that need addressing in my constituency, Madam Speaker. Water, Madam Speaker. I know that the opposition will tell us that they did all they could to improve the water supply in Delhi. Madam Speaker, they should simply speak the truth. the truth they should speak is that, Madam Speaker, promises were made, pipes were laid, and water delayed, Madam Speaker. Yes, Madam Speaker, promises were made, pipes were laid, and water delayed. But we on this side are going to address this, Madam Speaker, in the not too distant future. Some of the immediate issues, Madam Speaker, that will be addressed in this fiscal year concerning our water. Immediately, Madam Speaker, we need increased availability of water, particularly in the dry season, the entire January south constituency, Madam Speaker. In this short term, Madam Speaker, there's little else we can do right now but to increase the trucking, Madam Speaker. But, Madam Speaker, shortly after the budget, I will lead a delegation of the Ministry of Communication, Roads, and other relevant stakeholders to review and assess the January Water Upgrade Project, Madam Speaker. We will examine the current status and determine its overall impact as it relates to the water problem now plaguing the constituency. Madam Speaker, in the presentation of the budget, our Prime Minister spoke about the quadrant where this development opportunity will bring water to all Eastern Lucia. Every single place in Eastern Lucia will have the water that we need so that the days of trucking will be over soon, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it is indeed timely what our Prime Minister has proposed. The Dili community is expanding, Madam Speaker, the Lut Paradi Hotel development as well as other tourism-related initiatives. Currently underway will require a reliable supply of water. Madam Speaker, I will not sleep or rest. And these are the reasons we will not sleep or rest, Madam Speaker, until the water issues of Delhi South are addressed, Madam Speaker. We come to getting the scope of our constituency, not violence, Madam Speaker. The people of Lime and Lakai and the Delhi village deserve much better. Madam Speaker, our Prime Minister also spoke of the Information and Communication Technology Park. Madam Speaker, we are all familiar with the story of the Bell Fashion factory closure, costing the constituency over 300 jobs and lack of business income in many instances. This situation caused persons to migrate from the constituency and has contributed in large measures to the poverty we now confront, as outlined, Madam Speaker, in the poverty assessment report on page 44, Madam Speaker. Page 44, Madam Speaker, indicating that 34.2% of the Delhi population is considered poor. Madam Speaker, alarming. 34.2% of the Delhi population is considered poor. Where was labor at the time? Madam Speaker, I made a promise, Madam Speaker, to my constituents that the former Bell Fashion factory share will be occupied, providing jobs, and this I intend to keep. Our Prime Minister has said on numerous occasions also that something will be done. And when our Prime Minister talks about and makes a promise, you know he's going to keep it. Madam Speaker, the ICT Park will be the responsibility of the ministry in which I serve, and I intend to exert every effort to ensure that it comes to fruition. Agriculture, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I wish to assure all my constituents that the plans outlined by the Minister of Finance to vitalize agriculture are very strong and are meant to create resurgence in this vital sector. Some of the initiatives mentioned are to modernize agriculture, Madam Speaker, by using technology. And we can take the Eastwood for that. And in the experience, Madam Speaker, provision is made for that. Madam Speaker, our Prime Minister also spoke about getting and producing non-traditional crops. And to sell this, Madam Speaker, to sell any excess of those crops, those we cannot make use of locally, to use the IRDC, and there is one in the Maboya Valley area, Madam Speaker. Our Prime Minister also spoke about the use of the IRDCs. They are used only about 20% of the time, Madam Speaker. And our Prime Minister is determined to change that. And we are going to use this IRDC, the Innovative Reception Distribution Center, to buy the excess produce that we know we're going to have, because we're going to inject the necessary funds into the agriculture sector that will help us achieve this, Madam Speaker. Agro-processing, Madam Speaker, will be looked at. And we can only create more employment for our people to get them out of the poverty that labor has placed us. Madam Speaker, this is not only talk. The programs are all outlined in the budget estimate of the Ministry of Agriculture, Madam Speaker. You all have them, you all can have a look at them. Madam Speaker, on the issue of health, we are all familiar with the old adage, Madam Speaker, that the health of a nation is the wealth of a nation. In Benue South, there is a sad state of affairs when it comes to the health facilities. Where was labor? We can only wonder. Over the past 9 years, Madam Speaker, the hospital plant in Benue has not seen any repair, Madam Speaker. This is your health facility. You know, on the Benue Highway, this is the area we have the most accidents in the country, Madam Speaker. So we need, Madam Speaker, what was labor thinking?
I don't agree with you.
The services leave much to be desired, and I've been relegated, Madam Speaker, to a mech limit way below acceptable standards. Basic emergencies cannot be dealt with, and patients have to be referred to other facilities without having any diagnosis of their situation. Madam Speaker, there is no on page 31 of the estimates, Madam Speaker. When the PM, our Prime Minister, Madam Speaker, made it abundantly clear that the level, Madam Speaker, of expenditure on existing health services will not be reduced, and that human resource deficiencies will be addressed in this sector.
This is what I talk. Honourable Member, I beg to inform you that you have 10 minutes within which to complete your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This is not my talk, Madam Speaker, but there's provision again in this budget address to address these issues, Madam Speaker.
Are you raising a point of order?
Madam Speaker.
You kindly put on your mic, Honourable Member, and...
I would like to raise a request on the standing order 3210 to allow the Honourable Minister a further 50 minutes to complete this presentation.
Madam Speaker, I don't really have the need for it, Madam Speaker.
My request, Madam Speaker.
Honourable Member, the question is that the Honourable Member for Denry now be granted an additional 10 minutes if he needs it to complete his presentation. Honourable Member, are you requesting an additional 10 minutes?
No, Madam. I do not need that.
Madam Speaker, the question is to the House.
No.
I now put the question, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those of a contrary opinion say no.
No.
It seems as though the no's have it.
Mansi, can we have a division, please?
Clark? The no's have it, no extra time will be granted.
Madam Speaker, I hope not mistaken of the time during the process, Madam Speaker, so I assume that I still have my 10 minutes, Madam Speaker.
You are sure of that, Honourable
Member. Thank you, Madam Speaker. So, our government, Madam Speaker, don't just stop, but the provisions are there in the estimate to address the issues under the health sector, Madam Speaker. It is my intention to further dialogue with the Minister of Health to ensure that these matters are dealt with at the minimum. We're going to establish, Madam Speaker, emergency services, or should I say re-establish, Madam Speaker, because all of it has been destroyed. Rehabilitation and maintenance of the hospital, Madam Speaker, in general, Madam Speaker. Right now, this is a need. And we are going to improve customer service at the hospital, Madam Speaker. Speaker, let me quickly go to road infrastructure. Madam Speaker, it appears that there was a deliberate attempt to deny the people of the nation access to motor vehicle roads. Madam Speaker, I am excited. While the Prime Minister indicated that he will name no names of roads that needs to be repaired, he particularly mentioned that priority will be given to those areas where there is more of a need. And we know, Madam Speaker, there is a need in General South. So on this basis, General people, you know that your roads will be repaired. Madam Speaker, $37 million is included in the budget this year, Madam Speaker, for roads. Madam Speaker, let me now speak of the roads in the community that need urgent attention. The Lakai Inner Road, Madam Speaker. The Limelapa Road, Madam Speaker. I would like this Honorable House to note, Madam Speaker, that this Limelapa Road is the only bypass by the Bosque bypass if the Bosque or bridge is damaged, Madam Speaker. It is the only bypass on this side of the island to Castries. So if the Bosque or bridge is damaged, we would have to be using the Limelapa Road, Madam Speaker. So we have to give this road serious attention. The Boisjoli Road in the community, Madam Speaker, it is also an agricultural feeder road. And provisions are made in the estimate to have this road repaired. The White Rock Road, Madam Speaker, to over the bridge needs attention now. This is a growing community, Madam Speaker. And the person living there needs the road, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Green Mountain to the summit will be given some level of attention, Madam Speaker. Just imagine leaving the summit of Green Mountain. When the students are on the way to school and it's raining, they have to use 3 pairs of shoes, Madam Speaker. Mud and mud and mud upon mud. You wonder again what, Madam Speaker. I mean, this is a community that has grown. Attention has to be given to it. And it has not been given any attention, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we know that Rome was not built in a day. Therefore, we take the Prime Minister's word that priority will be given great is this first matter of speaker. There are other words in the community which need attention, Madam Speaker. The Lafayette Sea View Road, this road is required for the community, Madam Speaker. It will help spur further housing developments in Lafayette, Madam Speaker. A feasibility study should be undertaken immediately, Madam Speaker, to see if this road can be given to the people, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, quickly on footpath. Then January is characterized by a lot of unplanned development, Madam Speaker. So therefore, a lot of footpaths would have to be built to help the residents in that community, Madam Speaker. And I am pleased that an allocation of $350,000 is made in the budget to address footpaths. So we are going to get our share for that, Madam Speaker. It is my intention, Madam Speaker, to access those funds to provide and construct footpaths in areas necessary in my community, Madam Speaker. There is another need in the community, Madam Speaker. The Church Street Bridge, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Labour vision seems to have been blurred despite boasting of an elaborate eye care program. Madam Speaker, they did not see the need to construct a bridge in that area, Madam Speaker. This bridge will facilitate free flow of traffic along Church Street on Saturday night during the weekly fish fest fiesta, Madam Speaker. This is a need, not a want. Even if access is allowed only on a Saturday, Madam Speaker, but something has to be done there. Madam Speaker, it may be now difficult to construct the bridge at this time, given the fact that the wall was raised as part of the emergency recovery project, Madam Speaker. However, Madam Speaker, as the Prime Minister said, if you cannot go over the mountain or around it, you must go through it. Therefore, Madam Speaker, I am exploring the possibility of going around the wall behind Mr. Fitzroy, Madam Speaker, in order to connect High Street and Church Street. Madam Speaker, permit me a moment to address the needs of the fishermen in the constituency. Madam Speaker, the fishermen are crying out. There is need for improvement in the management of the fishing port. There is need for to extend the capacity of the fish market to ensure that the fish market incorporation purchases the entire catch. I know the development bank, as it comes back on stream, Madam Speaker, will help the fishermen to be able to get finance, to get more boats into the community, Madam Speaker. There is a need for that. Madam Speaker, fishermen leave their home in the wee hours of the morning, leaving behind their family and friends to be welcomed by the chilly cold of the sea, not knowing what is next, Madam Speaker, or who is next. Madam Speaker, after having slept for the entire day at sea, they return to the Daito, they return to the fishing port, only to be told that their catch cannot be bought. Madam Speaker, this is unacceptable, and I am urging the Minister of Communication to look. Sorry, Madam Speaker, I am urging the Minister of Agriculture to look into this, Madam Speaker. To look into the affairs of the fish market information, Madam Speaker, so that the fishermen's catch can be sold, Madam Speaker.
Madam Speaker, under this budget. Member, you have 3 minutes
to complete the presentation. Madam Speaker, we, Madam Speaker, on this side, everything has been presented to us, Madam Speaker, in black and white. They are available even on the internet, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let me briefly, Madam Speaker, in conclusion, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I wish to take this opportunity, Madam Speaker, to thank the Almighty Father. I thank you, Lord, for the strength and the willpower you bestowed upon me to take this challenge of leading my people in the quest for growth and development, Madam Speaker. I would also thank the people of Jemmy South for this opportunity to serve them and to lead their charge of development, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, as I take my seat, Madam Speaker, I wish to express my sincere thanks to you, Madam Speaker, and my esteemed colleagues of this Honorable House for your patience and listening ear. I wish to register my full support, Madam Speaker, to the appropriations in 2007-2008. Madam Speaker, just 10 minutes, 10 seconds, Madam Speaker, to make another point, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, permit me just a few seconds to make a short statement to the issue of Taiwan-China relations, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, St. Lucia is a sovereign state, an independent nation, Madam Speaker. We are a democratic country, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, what is the first all about, Madam Speaker? China or Taiwan, Madam Speaker? Which one should it be, Madam Speaker? Which one should we tie, Madam Speaker? We must tie one, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I say we must tie one. We must tie one, Madam Speaker. Thank you.